Yeah, love
and
to.
how he came about to get involved in hockey.
Yeah. Dad was one of these rare people that really felt that he was here to make a difference. And he felt that it was the duty of every citizen, in the great Socratic sense, you know, the duty of every citizen to contribute and to return more than they took from the society and to leave the society better than they found it. So he migrated to Australia in 1956 with me, with my mother. I was a baby with me as well. And he came to Australia with very well qualified. He came for political reasons, not for economic reasons. He'd done law and politics in Greece. And he'd been involved as a young man in the resistance during the German occupation. And of course, when the war was won by the Allies, and the monarchists returned to Greece from their self-imposed exile in England, where they were nice and safe. Instead of hailing all the people, everyone knows the story, instead of hailing all the people in the resistance as heroes, they were hailed as communists. And anyone that was involved in the resistance was deemed to be a communist, and if you were a Republican, that was a sort of a fine distinction that nobody made. Dad's grandfather was the Chief Justice of the Greek Supreme Court. And he said to Dad, "Look, not even I can protect you. The world's gone crazy.
Right.
So take your wife and go as far south as you can, and your son, and go to Australia." So Dad wrote a book called The
When he said
West.
it, far south, he wasn't
He
talking about
wasn't.
California, sirs.
No, he was saying, you know, cross the equator,
Yeah,
go away.
right.
And in those days, it wasn't all that easy to come to Australia. People, the Australians were very choosy about who they took out here because of the White Australia policy. And you think, oh, Greeks are white, what's the problem? They actually had a pecking order of the in the White Australia policy. And the Southern Europeans were sort of towards the end of the pecking order. They started with the Northern Europeans, and they moved down south. So Dad goes to get a visa with my mother. And he goes, he's well dressed, he speaks English, he's well educated, good family. And it's in his book, The Blessing and Misfortune of Loving Two Countries. And he sees an Australian bureaucrat, and the bureaucrat says to him, "Show me your hands." Dad said, "Why?" He said, "I want to see your hands." So Dad showed him his hands, and he said, "Oh, you're part of the literati. We don't want people like you in Australia. We want workers that'll dig the holes
And work on
work the
snowy mountains
fields and
hydro.
snow mountains hydro." And he said, "No." So he went back to his grandfather, and his grandfather said, "Okay, go back and work in your uncle's potato farm for a couple of months.
Have
Stuff on
another
your, you
go.
know, the olives groves. And then show him that you're not scared of hard work." So Dad did that, but he wasn't stupid. So he went dressed as a peasant next time. And my mother was a peasant, and he took an explain with him. And his heart dropped when he saw the same bureaucrat. And this guy, he said, never even looked at Dad's face. He said to the interpreter, "Tell him that he's exactly the sort of man we want in Australia," gave him an assisted passage.
There you
So
go.
anyway, so he rocks up, he comes to Australia, and he ends up, because his qualifications aren't recognised, going to work at the Hosmer shirt factory. And he tells a great story about that. And I said to Dad, "Well, what do you know about shirts?" He says, "Not much, but I figure how hard can it be?" So I went to the Palaco shirt factory with your mother, and Mr. Hosmer, the little Jewish guy, said, "So what can you do?" He said, "What pays the best?" He says, "A cutter. I'm a cutter." And I said to Dad, "But he packs up, and he's now a cutter at the Palaco shirt factory." That's right, the Palaco shirt factory. And he was there for about a year, and apparently Mr. Palaco got a bit too friendly with Mum.
Ooh.
Dad hooked him, and that was the end of the Palaco shirt factory. And then he went out and he started the Hellenic Machinist School to teach with Mum, to teach people, women, how to be machinists and how to work in the factories, because the Greeks that were coming over here, most of them hadn't finished primary school. They were really poorly educated, and of course they would have had trouble living in the big cities of Greece. You take them out of their choreo and you bring them to Melbourne, and it's a new culture, new language, and Australia is a developed country. It's moving ahead. So the machinist school did well. He opened up Primo Clothing. He started creating Australian fashion. He then opened up Alfredo's Menswear. We had a lot of shops in the city. He became a member of the Master Builders Association, did that for a while, set up the Athenian Society. He wrote plays to improve the culture of Melbourne, the Greek culture of Melbourne. He set up schools. He started the Melbourne Academy of Modern Greek, set up the first chair of Modern Greek at Monash at Melbourne University. And by the way, you know, it's the old story. I went to Greek school, primary school, because he set it up at the local Mentone community. We got the first the primary school going there. Went there. Thank God that's over, I think to myself. Then he set up the Academy of Modern Greek.
So you had to go to high school
as well. Of course. So I did the high school thing as well.
And then he
Thank God that's over. I went to Monash. And, of course, the chair of Modern Greek was started at Melbourne. I said, I'll go to Monash doing law. And he says, I've asked the university. You can be a complimentary subject student at Melbourne to do Modern Greek there. So I did that as well. And Dad has been involved in politics. He believed that he should encourage the migrants to be part of the establishment, he called it. He said, Australia has an establishment. And unless you're part of the establishment, nothing happens. And he said, this is why the Jewish people in this country are so successful. They have integrated into the establishment. They are not assimilated. They've maintained their culture. They've maintained their ethnic identity, but they have integrated. They are judges and bankers, and they know how to do it. We Greeks have to learn from them. And this was kind of his multicultural program, integration, created as a bridge. This is who we are, but we are moving towards the mainstream culture by using our own as a platform, as a beginning, not as an ending. And as a consequence of that, he was awarded the Governor's Medal for Multiculturalism in 2003. He was awarded a Lifetime Achievement Award by Harkey in 2004. He got his OAM for services to commerce and multiculturalism in 2006. For your listeners that don't know Dad's story, he introduced the Make Melbourne Brighter Committee, was the president of that, instituted late night closing so that we could go out and shop on a Friday night, which is a great story in itself. It's the old, you know, the Greek saying, Peso te luna, you know, to pass wind, and he'd come back covered in it. So he said, all I wanted was one night a week. The big stores figured out there was a lot of money to be made, and now it's 24/7. He said, that was never my idea. I didn't want that to happen because he valued family life. But the ideas lose their impact. But he did that. Alfresco dining, he introduced that as a concept. He started Harkey. He was the founding president and founding father of Harkey in 1974. He was involved in the Greek with the Greek community and the Greek church. Found himself and the whole family excommunicated in 1998 by His Eminence the Archbishop because they couldn't see eye to eye on handing over all the Greek assets, the assets in the community that had been accumulated over the years by the Greek community. And that was funny because Mum said to him, well, you gone mad? Because the Archbishop actually did the whole excommunication thing. No curus will go into a church to be wed, to be baptised, you know, the whole thing. And Dad said, I've got to go to Su Patriarchia, you know, in Istanbul. We still call it Constantinople, of course. I said, why? I said, I've got to get the excommunication lifted. Do you want to come? I said, are you serious?
Sounds like it would have been a spectacular trip.
It's a great. I went there and I'm waiting in the courtyard while Dad's having his audience with the patriarch, and a bishop rocks up. And of course, we think that the priests are all fairly basic in Australia because they're from the Choreo, but they're not. I mean, the reality is our priests are amongst the best educated in the world. They're really qualified people. So the bishop comes and sits next to me, and he's from America and he speaks six languages, and he says to me, my son, you know that you are in Constantinople here. And I said, you mean symbolically? He said, no, this is Constantinople. When Constantinople fell in 1453, His Eminence, whoever the patriarch said, he'd make a deal with the Sultan that this would be the center of the Greek Orthodox Church in the eyes of God until, in the eyes of God, it fell to dust. All right? So I'm looking around, and it's in pretty good shape for something that's 800 years old, you know, whatever it was. And I said, but your Eminence, it looks in very good shape. And he looks me straight in the eye and says, every night, it is a miracle.
On that note, we are going to have to wrap up. But Paul Kouros, barrister and inventor of the Kouros Century Turbine Generator, thank you very much for joining us. It's been incredibly educational. We appreciate your time.
Look, I love and thank you for the opportunity, not just to talk about my project, but to remind people of what my father has contributed. You know, I was interviewed by a Greek newspaper last year after Dad died, and he said, how would you like the community to honour your father? And I said, well, you know, we've got a Footballers' Hall of Fame and our Greek community doesn't have a Hall of Fame. It would be nice to see not just my father, but there's so many people in this community that have progressed the community, that has moved it along historically, to be honoured in a Hall of Fame. But I said, I know it's not going to happen. He said, why? He said, because we eat ourselves alive with this city-state mentality and the jealousy that it prevails within the Greek community. And that's why it doesn't happen, regrettably.
Well, but it is in the Harkey Hall of Fame.
I was going to say, it's an excellent idea, mate.
That's
we should
true.
Take.
He was honoured there.
We should take it to the board, Alex. But we are going to have to wrap up. Paul, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you also to Alex Christou from Melbourne Business School who joined us earlier. More information on harkey.com.au. Thanks as always to 3XY, to the Delphi Bank for their support, and to you, Argy.
Thanks, Tommy.
I
was going to call you Costa.
No, well, that's clearly not mine. Anyway,
why you do this to me,
John? That's right. Why you do this? Anyway, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again the same time. Until then, yassas.